Be prepared. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told us that he would return to us at some point in the future. So far, we have waited for a couple of millennia for that event to take place. The disciples thought that he would come back within their own lifetime, and the Christians in the early church stood ready, believing that at any minute Jesus would descend from the clouds to establish God's kingdom on earth. In 1 Thessalonians 4, St. Paul tells us what will happen when he does return. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. For the vast majority of us, however, the end will come at the point of our own death. What should we do to prepare for that? After all, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, it is certain that each and every one of us will, sooner or later, reach the end of our earthly life. One of the things that brings the reality of our mortality closer to us is the untimely death of someone we know. Among the emotions that can flood us as part of the grief process, there is an awareness that this life here below is finite and that we are destined for a life beyond this world. For some who suffer much through physical illness, destitution, or oppression of one kind or another, death may come as a relief. For some, after leading a virtuous, holy life, the prospect of meeting God face to face is one that excites us and towards which we look with eager anticipation. Some of us, on the other hand, may fear death. We may cling to this life and try to prolong it as much as possible. We may feel unready to face the judgment that will come to us when we die. We may fear hell or even purgatory. In this life, there is a big temptation to place our trust in the things of this world. We are told that the highest good is to be found in seeking pleasure at all costs and avoiding pain as much as possible. We are told that fame and influence and the approval of those around us are to be cultivated, even if it means trampling on other people or indulging in minor dishonesties. We are told that we should amass as much money as possible to ensure that when we retire, we will be able to keep up a lavish lifestyle. But Jesus, who is a shrewd judge of human nature, warns us against such a course of action. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, he says this: "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable: "The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink and be merry." But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." What should have been the attitude of that rich man? Quite simply, to trust in God rather than in any worldly benefit. In the last analysis, this life is really about purification. All of us are fallen human beings and we are prone to evil. We are susceptible to the influence of the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are also damaged by the hurts and traumas of life, and yet it is also a fact that unless we are perfect, we cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So there's a discrepancy between our fallen state and the perfection that is demanded of us before we can get into heaven. What's to be done? Only the death and resurrection of Jesus can bridge that gap. Without the merits of his sacrifice, any attempts we make at a life of virtue are futile. But he has also given us the power of the Holy Spirit to enable us and equip us to pursue a life of holiness. So how can we best prepare ourselves so that when we die, we can be sure that we will be eligible to experience the beatific vision and live with God forever in bliss? Several times in the Gospels, Jesus tells us to watch and be on guard, because we never know the day or the hour. We should live as though this day will be our last. It's said that St. Francis of Assisi was once cultivating a row of beans in his garden when a pilgrim approached and asked, "What would you be doing now if you knew this was the last day of your earthly life?" St. Francis smiled and replied, "I would keep on hoeing." That kind of attitude can only come about if a person is already living the kind of life that will lead to heaven. How do we then live that kind of life? Again, Jesus tells us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, when the Pharisees are quizzing him about various points of the law. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbour as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." We can be prepared for the Lord's return or our own death, whichever happens to come sooner, by following those two commandments. And Jesus gives us a practical example of how to love God and our neighbour by demonstrating it in his own life. He loved God by taking time regularly for personal prayer. It was in prayer that Jesus steeped himself in the love of God. Many times he sought refuge from his busy ministry and from the press of the crowds by slipping away to pray to God the Father. And it was from that wellspring of prayer that he found the source from which he could love other people in turn. And it is the same for us. We love God through praying regularly and opening ourselves to the love that the Holy Spirit stirs up in us. We also love God by combating our own evil tendencies. And we love our neighbour in practical ways of service, kindness, gentleness, affection, being available, listening, helping, praying for them and supporting them emotionally, spiritually, physically and financially. We love our neighbour through forgiving those who hurt us, forgiving our enemies, not holding grudges and doing good to those who persecute us. So when Jesus tells us to be prepared, he also gives us a blueprint for how we can ensure that when the time comes for us to move on from this earthly life, we are ready to meet the Lord face to face. Let's pray and ask the Lord for the grace to be prepared. Lord Jesus, you have warned us not to cling to the things of this world, but to keep our eyes on the kingdom of heaven, wherein lies our salvation. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we can love you and love our neighbour as you have taught us, and so be ready to enter into the heavenly realms of light when we come to meet you face to face. Amen.